I would like to call this meeting of the City Council of University City to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Jennings?
Present.
Councilmember Carr?
Present.
Councilmember Kraft?
Here.
Councilmember Crow is excused. Councilmember Glicker? Councilmember Sharp?
Here.
Mayor Welch?
Here. Before we go on, I would like to say Councilmember Crow is not with us today. His mother passed away yesterday. And I would like to offer him and his whole family our condolences. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council have an item he or she would like to add to the agenda or change? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I would like to remind those in the audience that if you would like to speak to the council on agenda or non-agenda items, you should fill out a speaker request form that can be found to the left of the door into the chamber. Please indicate on that sheet if you want to speak on an agenda or non-agenda item and note the agenda item number on the form. Your completed form should be placed in the plastic trays in front of the city clerk prior to the start of council discussion on an agenda item on which you would like to speak. The council reports and business section is for council discussion. Those asking to speak on those issues may do so during the regular citizen comments sections of the agenda. Comments should be limited to 5 minutes. A reminder to those in the audience, this council cannot discuss personnel matters, legal or real estate issues in public sessions. Members of this council and the city manager will not immediately respond to questions raised at our meetings. However, responses will be provided by an appropriate person as quickly as possible. As I have said in the past, if someone chooses to continue speaking beyond the council-accepted time limit on an individual citizen comment, after my advising of the deadline, I will not call them to the podium at future meetings. I will consider a request for additional time, but the speaker must first make a request to go beyond the time limit and be given permission to do so. Residents are free to speak either on agenda or non-agenda items. It is our intent to conduct our meetings in a manner that is at all times respectful to members of our staff, our community, and fellow city council members. Personal attacks on city council members and staff will be ruled out of order. We now move on to proclamations. Is Ms. Hattie Jones in the audience? If you could come up to the podium. And Mr. Glickert, could I ask you to, I will read it from here. Let me see. Could I ask you to be up to present this? I would like to read a proclamation for Ms. Hattie Jones this evening. Whereas Mrs. Hattie Ellison started working the soda fountain at a Medicare Glacier drugstore in December of 1955, was soon promoted to the checkout counter, and was then transferred to the store at McKnight and Delmar, where she was working when her husband James Ellison was killed in a hit-and-run accident. And whereas in 1991, Walgreens acquired the Medicare Glacier stores and kept the entire staff at the McKnight and Delmar store, including Mrs. Hattie Ellison, when it reopened as a Walgreens, and whereas Ms. Hattie Ellison married Willie Jones after her children Diane, Patricia, and Jerry were grown and continued working at Walgreens as they lived their lives and gave her 8 grandchildren, and whereas Ms. Hattie, as she is known, has been a faithful and dedicated employee with Walgreens for 60 years as of November 1st, 2015, and whereas Ms. Hattie over the years has served as a mentor to many younger women, often saying they're all my girls, and whereas Ms. Hattie works 2 days a week on her feet and prides herself on her accuracy in her job, saying I count money twice, first to myself and then to the customer, no mistakes. And whereas Ms. Hattie's performance of her duties, her working relationships with her colleagues at Walgreens and with the citizens of University City are always characterized by kindness, friendliness, and getting the job done well. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Shelley Welsh, on behalf of the people of University City, congratulate Ms. Hattie Jones on the 60th anniversary of her work with Walgreens, and do hereby declare Tuesday, November 10th, 2015, as Ms. Hattie Jones Day in the city of University City, Missouri, whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the city of University City to be affixed this 9th day of November in the year 2015. And Mr. Glickett will present you with the proclamation. Ms. Hattie, I see one typo, or saw it as I read this, and I will get a corrected version to the store as soon as it's done. Okay, we have one more proclamation for this evening. That is for Small Business Saturday, which is the Thursday after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving. And whereas the government of the City of University City, Missouri celebrates our local small businesses and the contributions they make to our local economy and community, according to the United States Small Business Administration, there are currently 27.9 million small businesses in the United States. They represent 99.7% of American employer firms, create more than two-thirds of the net new jobs, and generate 46% of private gross domestic product, as well as 54% of all U.S. sales. And whereas small businesses employ over 55% of the working population in the United States, and whereas 89% of consumers in the United States agree that small businesses contribute positively to the local community by supplying jobs and generating tax revenue, and whereas 87% of consumers in the United States agree that small businesses are critical to the overall economic health of the United States, and whereas 93% of consumers in the United States agree that it is important for people to support the small businesses that they value in their community, and whereas the City of University City, Missouri supports our local businesses that create jobs, boost our local economy, and preserve our neighborhoods, and whereas advocacy groups as well as public and private organizations across the country have endorsed the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday, not Friday. Now, therefore, I, Shelley Welsh, Mayor of the City of University City, Missouri, do hereby proclaim November 28, 2015 as Small Business Saturday and urge the residents of our community and communities across the country to support small businesses and merchants on Small Business Saturday and throughout the year. And I encourage everyone to go on the Chamber of Commerce website at universitycitychamber.org and open up the business directory and see a list of all of the nearly 900 businesses, I think, that are located here in University City. With that, we will now move on to approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the October 12th regular session minutes? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings, is there any discussion? Ms. Carr?
Madam Mayor, I wonder if you could give me a clarification. We did have an attachment by someone who did not make a statement, and I wanted to know if that is something that we do.
As we discussed at the last meeting, that was something we were going to discuss at when we sit down to discuss rules and change in our rules. We have in the past allowed people to speak part of their statement and then put other stuff into the minutes, and as you know, oftentimes we put much stuff attached to the minutes that we do not speak at the meeting. So I think Mr. Glickert, if I remember correctly, suggested at the last meeting that that be something we discuss when we discuss our rules.
Well, I have never attached anything that we have not discussed. And when I did attach some citizen statements, I was prevented from reading those statements. So it seems to me that we should not be attaching a full statement that has not at least been partially made. And so in that case, I would say that I certainly invite the speaker to make that statement today so that it could be included, but I think this sets a bad precedent, and it sets kind of a bad taste in people's mouth that it happens for some and not for others. And I think we have to be much more uniform in our application of what we do allow. I cannot remember anyone simply coming up and saying, "I'm not going to talk. Please attach my statement to this." So, if you have that instance, would you please provide it for me? Because I feel very uncomfortable allowing this, and then saying, "Oops, we changed the rules for everyone else."
Thank you very much. Are there any more comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Yeah. Ms. Carr votes against it. And Mr. Glickert, I would appreciate your adding that to your list of rules discussions when we get to that point. We now move on to the minutes of the October 22nd special session. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Jennings, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the minutes of the October 26th study session. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Glickert, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the October 26, 2015 regular session? Mr. Jennings, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to an appointments. I would like to appoint Kaimal Dockett to the CALIP Commission to replace Mr. Dennis Finnegan. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Moving on to swearing in, Linda Shaw was sworn into the Human Relations Commission in the City Clerk's office. We now move on to citizen participation. We have 15 minutes at this time. As I said earlier, please limit your comments to 5 minutes. Please identify yourself when you come up to the podium and provide your name and address, and please turn off the mic when you leave. The first speaker is Kathy Strotman.
My name is Kathy Strotman. I live at 6855 Plymouth Avenue, the third ward. I'm addressing the council this evening regarding the Northgate Village proposal. I'd first like to list a few facts about my neighborhood. These are from the 2016 census tract. Over 30% of the population in this area live below the poverty level. 85% of our residents are African American. 98% of the children attending our neighborhood school are also African American. There is no shortage of housing in this area. The vacancy rate is 13%. Only 49% of the homes in our neighborhood are owner-occupied. The Northeast neighborhood community satisfies all the criteria of a distressed area with concentrated poverty. Some research shows that poverty concentration increases exposure to neighborhood violence, environmental hazards, abandoned housing, racial segregation, racial profiling, mass incarceration, lack of employment opportunities, and low-performing schools. Research also shows that this causes impairment of our children's cognitive development, school performance, mental health, and long-term physical health. Adding more rentals to an area that already has only a 49% owner occupancy and a 13% vacancy rate only contributes to further decline of our already at-risk neighborhood. I am not concerned about the integrity or qualifications of the Bywater developers. I am, however, very concerned about this project. This is not a good proposal for University City. It has a negative impact on the Northeast neighborhood community and thereby affects all of University City. Research shows that this isn't what we need. What we need is strategic long-term investments in public facilities and services. Owner-occupied housing developed by CDCs under the control of neighborhood residents whose mission is primarily about community development and improvement. We also need to, and we've been talking about this since I can remember, and I know our schools have improved, but none of the records of our schools show that anybody in all of University City, no families, are rushing to live here because of our school system. We have to have a concentrated effort to upgrade our school systems and the perception of our school systems. I mean, that's just a beginning, but one of the very important things we need to improve our community. And thank you, and I have a copy for to be attached to the minutes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Steve McMahon.
Steve McMahon, 8135 Stanford Avenue here in University City. I was asked by Mr. Frank Ohlendorf to read a statement of his that he believed was important to state some things that weren't in the minutes. Frank Ohlendorf, 8128 Cornell Court. I would like to repeat an important part of my October 26 citizen comment, which was omitted from the minutes. I want to state for the record regarding the Andy Trivers concept plan, I personally and professionally stand behind the facts and statement in Councilmember Carr's excellent, accurate comments at council meeting and in the report in her weekly newsletter. I have collaborated with Andy Trivers for over a decade on the renovation and restoration of our National Register Historic City Hall complex, including the development in 2014 of a concept plan for the City Hall Annex Police Station. Based on that firsthand direct knowledge, I can tell you that the October 26 comments of the city administration are falsehoods and exaggerations. I find Councilmember Kraft's comments attacking Ms. Carr inappropriate, false, and outrageous. The only fantasy is his. Thank you, Frank Ohlendorf, 8128 Cornell Court, University City, Missouri, 63130.
Thank you, Mr. Mark Stram.
Mark Strom. I'm the general manager of Rocket Fizz at 6303 Del Mar Boulevard. I came in today. I did email each of the council members last week regarding the fact that assistance for retail businesses in the Del Mar district was tabled by this council. Ours is a small business. It was started by me, my wife, and our best friend. However, last year, we still, after opening on May 24th, still managed to make $565,000 last year in total net sales. This year, to date, I am $87,000 below that. Now, last year, we made $5,000. Yeah, we made some mistakes last year. We hired too many people. We had too many people on shift at a time. If we hadn't done that, we would have probably made about $30,000 in profits last year. This year, my wife and I have had to put $25,000 into the business by taking out a home equity loan, and our partner has done the same. I don't know what kind of evidence you need. I can give you all the stuff from our accountant you would like, but we cannot sustain that kind of a loss in 1 year simply because our store was not accessible. There were days when the only way to get to our store was to walk two blocks one way or the other, and you weren't even allowed to cross the street. There were concrete barriers down the middle of the block. And quite frankly, unless there is some assistance forthcoming, or we have one miraculous December, we will probably close our doors, which to me and my partner will be about $150,000 loss apiece. That was my retirement. I was forced to retire early from the federal government because of heart conditions. This was to be the job that carried me through into my 60s and helped me provide something extra. We currently employ 14 employees. As of this last week, we've had to lay four of them off. We simply cannot afford the hours. I would really seriously ask all of you to reconsider this bill. Get with the Loop Trolley Commission. I seriously believe they seriously need to kick in more money because the small amount that was available, I've talked to the other business owners. There's a lot of people hurting. You know, it may not sound like much, but quite frankly, if we could get $12,000 or $15,000, that would catch me up on my rent, which I'm a month behind on at this point. and allow us to restock our store in time for Christmas. Christmas is another big sales month for us, and if we can make it through Christmas, I think we'll make it through to next June and have another great summer next year. But until then, we need your help. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move on. We have no public hearings scheduled for tonight. We have nothing on the consent agenda. We now move to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. First item under the city manager's report is approval to grant authority to the city manager to sign and enter into an amended agreement with Planning Design Studio not to exceed $69,340 above the original agreement, bringing the total agreement fees not to exceed $89,790. This is for the Ruth Park driving range improvements and landscape berm design.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Sharp, is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Walker.
Second item under the city manager's report is approval to award the CDBG concrete sidewalk spot repairs to Ranieri Construction for $40,800. I recall at the last meeting there was some concern raised by a member of council with respect to some previous work that Ranieri had done on Maryland Avenue. Council members will note that attached to this particular report, staff have identified the various punch list items that Ranieri has agreed to correct. After consulting with the Public Works staff on the quality of work previously done by Ranieri, we are satisfied that this contract to them, the work will be well done. So staff is recommending approval.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Sharp, is there a second? Mr. Jennings, any discussion? Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Can you tell me when this punch list should be finished?
Madam Mayor, the Ranieri's indicated that they will have the work done by mid-November.
Okay. And so, assuming that everything goes okay, or if it isn't, then we can still tell them that their punch list is not finished?
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Carr, yes, that's correct.
Thank you very much.
Is there any further discussion? Mr. Glickert?
To the City Manager, the punch list, it appeared to me that the punch list was landscape, not so much concrete. Am I right about that? You know, we had to put grass seed down and a few other cosmetics.
Correct.
Okay. Is that part of Ranieri's, because they're a concrete company. Is that part of the
Well,
job?
I think the issue there on Maryland is when they were doing the construction, they basically tore up some of the landscape items.
Okay. All right. So they're responsible for that, and they will take care of that.
Correct.
Okay. And the last question I have you received any complaints about the where the skirts are at the curb, and there's a triangular piece of concrete sticking up in the middle of the skirt there, essentially segregating which way you're going to walk. You're going to walk this way or you're going to walk that way. And I've received some concerns from parents that their children, you know, may hit that thing and just go flying. Have you received any negative information on that work?
Madam Mayor, through to Council Member Glickert, I personally have not, but the engineering staff may have. Perhaps we can ask the interim director, Mr. Ospelon, whether or not they have received any. I have not, but he may have.
Sinan Alpasan, Public Works and Parks Department, Council Member Glickert. We received a concern at the southeast corner of Asbury and Maryland intersection, and that has been reworked since then and corrected, and the curb is not there anymore. The contractor removed the curb and graded behind it accordingly.
Thank you, sir. Any other discussion? Ms. Carr?
Along the same lines, I've seen some of those islands broken. Have we received any? In fact, I have some pictures to pass on to you. And they're probably county pictures, but I mean, they're pictures of county streets.
Madam Mayor, through to Council Member Carr, if you'll pass those on to me with the addresses, then we will address them.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Jennings?
I wanted to ask, this, are there any measures provided for if there is dissatisfaction or non-performances? Or
Madam Mayor, through to the council member, we won't hire them again was one of the measures.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no unfinished business for tonight. We have no new business. We have no more requests to speak by the citizens. Council reports and business. I would like to mention that Ms. Carr has an appointment to Urban Forestry, and I have appointments to the Youth Commission, one young adult and one adult. We did get some minutes from various boards and commission meetings in our packets. Does any member of council have any report to in a commission he or she to which he or she liaises? Mr. Jennings?
I just wanted to report that the University City Youth Commission is having a bowling party on December 10th for the youth. Mr. Joe Edwards was so graciously afforded us the place and will allow us to have the club with, you know, full access except to liquor, and I'm very thankful for that, and we'll be working with the school district and other groups to make sure all the youth in the city know about that, and hopefully we'll have more of those going on.
Thank you, sir. Any other reports? Hearing none, we now move on to council comments. Any member of council have a comment here? Ms. Carr?
Thank you very much. I'd first like to express my deepest condolences to my colleague and very dear friend, Councilmember Crow, on the loss of his mother. Hers was a well-lived life, and he and his family have much to celebrate and reminisce as she goes home and as they mourn her loss. I'd also like to congratulate the organizers, signature collectors of the Heritage Sites Initiative petition for collecting over 52% more signatures than required. They extend their thanks to all those who signed the petition and all who worked so hard to collect those signatures. These signatures have been submitted to the city clerk, who turned them over to St. Louis County Board of Elections last Friday for verification. According to the Board of Elections, the verification process should be completed by the end of this week, and the organizers fully expect this to be on the ballot for next April. And then finally, have a little bit longer, something I'd like to talk about. The last meeting, my colleague, Councilmember Kraft, leveled a vicious and personal attack against my credibility and me. This was in spite of the warnings by our mayor, who specifically said, and I repeat what she said at the beginning of the meeting, it is the council's intent to conduct these meetings in a manner that is at all times respectful to the members of the city staff, the community, and the fellow council members. Personal attacks on the city council members and staff will be ruled out of order. But once again, the unacceptable behavior of my colleague goes unchecked by the mayor, while the citizens are left to wonder why the mayor would allow such behavior of one member of council against another, while she threatens to rule citizen statements out of order if she believes they're leveling a personal attack against a member of staff or the council. Actions speak louder than words. We can have differences of opinions about the issues without resorting to personal attacks. It is two of these issues that I would like to address here tonight. With regard to the Trivers concept plan for a police station in the annex, nowhere in my newsletter did I claim that I had spoken with Mr. Trivers or Mr. Warshaw about this plan. My information comes from sources, primarily discussions with former city manager Frank Ohlendorf, who provided me the information on discussions he had had with both Mr. Trivers, Mr. Warshaw, and others, along with written documentation. Since 2009, I have worked with sources. I often work with sources and then seek corroboration. I just don't spread rumors. I've never claimed that I received my information directly from Mr. Trivers or Mr. Warshaw, so I cannot have lied or misrepresented anything in spite of what Councilmember Kraft and the city manager alleged. After the last meeting, however, I did call Mr. Trivers, and we had an extended conversation about what was conveyed by Mr. Kraft and Mr. Walker, and further discussed his plan and some of my questions. He told me that he did, in fact, remember the meeting. He told me that there were two meetings, one on the 5th of February 2014, where there were four people present, not three, including Mr. Trivers and Mr. Warshaw. And it was at this meeting Mr. Trivers proposed to do a concept plan with the aim of using tax credits. Mr. Walker agreed to let him proceed. Mr. Trivers referred to Mr. Warshaw in our conversation as his client. And when I told him that I was told Mr. Warshaw claimed he was not his client, he told me this endeavor was preliminary, without contracts, etc. Whether or not Mr. Warshaw considered himself a client does not change the fact that the architect on a historic tax credit project would be working for a developer and not for the city. Mr. Trivers did not at any time refer to the plan as a sketch, but rather as a conceptual planning. He was given a very extensive tour, contrary to what was said at the last meeting, in 2013 by the former facilities maintenance supervisor, or lead custodian, as he was called at the time, Terry Strasbaugh, before he retired, and a more superficial tour by Chief Adams' executive secretary, Christy Addis, on March 12th. He confirmed that he had been through the annex many times when renovating City Hall. He wrote that, and I quote, "In our conceptual planning, we did not include a structural analysis as a part of the planning that we did." And that is correct. He did not. To be fair, assuming, and this is Mr. Trivers continuing, to be fair, assuming the structural report you sent is accurate, we would have to add $2.4 million to our cost to accommodate the seismic and structural code requirements outlined in the report. This would make our total cost approximately $11,175,000, and that, without tax credits, comparable to the $26 to $30 million that Chiodini is proposing. When I review my newsletter on the Trivers concept plan for a police station, there is only one word in the whole newsletter I would change or add. All references to a developer would be changed to read potential developer. Everything else is accurate. As most of you know, and this is the second topic, the data on the first 37 ambulance calls run by Gateway Ambulance provided to Mr. McMahon as a result of his Sunshine request was incomplete. I used that city-generated and provided data in my analysis several weeks ago. And subsequently, Mr. Gregory Pace and Captain Jackson pointed out that the times used for dispatch were not the time of dispatch, but rather the time at which the EMS call was entered. Since a report provided to Mr. McMahon and used by me did not have a dispatch time included, that rendered my earlier analysis incorrect. I subsequently requested a complete report on those emergency calls from Mr. Walker, and it was provided last week. I am providing you, the council, with a report on the performance, and that's what I gave each one of you, of the U-City Fire Department ambulance provided by Mr. Pace that he sent to us on September 1st. This is the definition of how the analysis should look, where we look at the time report entered to dispatched, the time dispatched to on scene. That's our important time, and I have followed that. That appears to have been prepared by the U-City Fire Department Assistant Chief Crimson. And by the way, if anybody wants this, I'd be happy to provide this to them. The reason for providing this report is that when we make comparisons between response times in the past and present, we must use the same terms and definitions. It would be important to follow this format for the report, and that is what I did. With the complete CAD information on the first 37 ambulance calls, and I figured those out by address and by entered time so that they correspond to the original sheets, and using the method used by the administration to analyze the U-City Fire Department ambulance calls over 2014, I've prepared a new analysis of these calls, and it is provided to you on the other side of the page, the colorful one. I'll leave it up to you to carefully examine the information provided to you above, but in summary, using the dispatch time to the on-scene time, as was done in the report touted by Mr. Pace and provided by the U-City Fire Department Administration, the U-City Fire Department average ambulance time was 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Gateway's self-reported average response time was 3 minutes and 21 seconds. And University City's dispatch records, the on-scene time minus the dispatch time, yielding the average Gateway response time was 5 minutes and 26 seconds, not 3 minutes and 20 seconds. If you look at the dispatch time, the average dispatch time is 1 minute and 7 seconds. If you add those two together, then we do come out with that 6 minutes and 30 seconds, as we had talked about before. But at least now we know what the dispatch time is and what the response time is. According to RCAD data, the response time for the first 37 calls was over 2 minutes slower than the average response time provided by Gateway. That concerns me. The objective is not to point fingers at anyone for failing to provide complete information, or a mea culpa from me for failing to know that the earlier information provided by the city was incomplete and could not be used to do the earlier analysis, but instead to provide a check on and evaluation of the self-reported data provided by our contractor, Gateway Ambulance, for our emergency ambulance service. We have the tools and we have the data. As a matter of course, this type of analysis should be performed each and every reporting period and compared to the data prepared and presented by Gateway. Otherwise, the city can have no basis on which to evaluate the performance of the EMS service for which we have contracted. We must do that. Therefore, I am requesting that of the city manager that the Gateway report for the month of September and the month of October be provided, that the complete CAD-based reports for all ambulance calls received for September and October be provided, as they were just provided for the first 37 calls. And finally, for the city manager to provide for a monthly report on the response times based on our CAD data, accompanied by the complete CAD-based reports for all ambulance calls, and this to be provided to the council so that we can see over time what the real response times are and what the real performance is. And I'm sure that once we have this all ironed out, we will either develop great confidence that, you know, that they are doing what they say, or we'll know that they are not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings.
Okay, a couple of things. I'm excited. I talked to personnel at the school district today. In January, it will be the 30th anniversary of the Martin Luther King celebration at University City High School. And they have been planning a weekend of events around his actual birthday, January 15th. So on January 15th, 16th, and 17th, youth will be involved, and there will be young youthful speakers who participated in some of the Ferguson events, some from around the area, and they'll have their own youthful day of expression, youthful expression. There will be a day for art, dancing, artwork, and so on. And then the normal event that a lot of times the mayor and I also participate in. So I always am troubled that that large auditorium is not filled up in this diverse community. So I wanted to make sure you guys know well in advance and hope to see you there. Also, I had an opportunity along with Mr. Sharp and Mayor Welsh to travel to the National Leagues of Cities convention, the Congress of Cities, and it was phenomenal to meet other leaders from around the country. And they've asked me questions about our city, and I was just amazed that people are watching us, and it was encouraging. And I think it was well worth it. A lot of the trainings there, met Dallas police major who they have a policy of open policing, where and in case of an officer-involved shooting, within 24 hours they announce the officer's name, gender, and age, as well as the victims. And they said they've been doing that for years. So we're really, really progressive things like that happened. And also, we were favored to have an awesome speech by Vice President Joe Biden. And I had an opportunity to shake his hand, but he just commended all the local officials, saying that he and Barack really don't do the work. it's us local officials, and he really admires us because you guys know where we live. And that was just a phenomenal event. So, and also wanted to share, as well as we talked about this with our colleagues. So we also had brought gifts and information back, T-shirts, and also the briefcase that we received upon arrival there. So we do have the report and also gifts for our colleagues. Lastly, I want to remind everyone again about our Third Ward Town Hall meeting on November 19th at 7 p.m. At Mount Gideon Church. And we hope to see a great turnout there as we talk about issues affecting the Third Ward. Thank you very much.
Mr. Glickert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just want to publicly acknowledge the University City varsity football team as they won the districts. Proud of that. It's my alma mater, and good luck to them in the state playoffs.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Glickert. Mr. Sharp.
I wanted to say I went to the National League of Cities convention in Nashville, had an absolutely marvelous time dealing with various issues from the various cities. Let me say that I was very proud that from Missouri, Melanie Griffin was the new elected president of the new NMNL, National League of Cities. There are many things that we share, one city with another, one county with another. And I will also have information. I've given some information to our city manager of the various booths that I attended. And also, you have a sheet here dealing with the business that are going to be dealt with by the National League of Cities. So I will also have a report, written report, to turn in, so that everybody will have some idea as to some of the things that occurred at the conference. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few things to mention. The City of University City will be hosting the St. Louis County Municipal League in this chamber also on November 19th. The suburban mayors, which are mayors of cities of 10,000 or less, will be meeting at 6:30, and the full group will be here at 7:30. And speaking of the police department, as you probably know if you've been attending the meetings, the city council is being asked to consider options for our police department facility. We have had one public meeting on this so far. We've had a couple of study sessions in the council. Another public meeting will be held tomorrow night, November 10th at 6:30 at the University City Public Library. And a third public meeting will be held on November 23rd prior to the council meeting. I believe that starts at 5:15. And if you are interested in providing feedback on this issue, I encourage you to go learn in more detail about the options that the City Council is considering. And with that, I will adjourn this meeting at 7:14 p.m. Thank you all for coming.